If you could, open up your Bibles with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We started to go through the book of 1 Timothy in the young adults class. One of the things that we're really looking at and trying to pull out is really just the simplicity of the church. And really, just to try to stay as close to God's Word as we can as Christians, and to really see our responsibility as Christians to Christ as well as to the church too. One of the things we see in Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1 is he begins to go through and he says, "As I urge you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies which give rise to mere speculation, rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith, teaching the right things, desiring to see that people's faith in Christ and God and make a decision for the Lord will begin to go further." It says, "Some men straying from these things," verse 5, "but the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart." It means our motives are right. Good conscience. It's beneficial. Conscience is clear. A sincere faith, that faith is real. It's genuine. And it says, "Some men straying from these things have turned aside to fruitless discussion." He goes on to say, "Teachers want to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand what they're saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions." And it gives us the list that goes down beside that, underneath of it. And then in verse 12, he turns and he says, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, putting me into service." He begins to set apart that it was Christ Jesus that called Paul and put him into service, which is the word ministry. He goes, "But hold on. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief." He begins to give a picture of who he was. "And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus," that it's only found in Christ. This thing called faith, this thing called love, that without God, we don't even know what it is. It's not in us. It doesn't come from us. "It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life." It's a good reminder, and it's a good reminder for me, that as we begin to walk as Christians and we begin to, it's easy to forget what Christ came to do. It's easy to begin to separate and begin to condemn, instead of realizing, as the scriptures say, "Such were some of us. I was a blasphemer. I was a violent aggressor. I was a persecutor. It was me. But that grace was so abundant, I found mercy. Christ gave me mercy." And it's just a good reminder to keep coming back to, sometimes they may not talk the way that we talk, us people that are churched. They may not look the way we would want them to look. They may not say the things we would want them to say. But he came to save sinners. So for us to shut the doors on that, it's not a good thing. It's a good reminder for every one of us to just remember that he came to rescue. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And that as that gospel message is proclaimed, he's going to bring in those that he's going to bring in. It's our job to proclaim the message in love. We can't change people. We can't make them receive the gospel. What we know is that gospel is very clear in identifying once a person accepts it. But it's just a good reminder to keep coming back to that that was me. And it was only the grace of Christ that rescued me. It's only going to be the grace of Christ that rescues them. It's not going to be the law that we throw at them. It's going to be the grace of Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation. He goes on to say, this command I entrust to you, Timothy, fight the good fight, keeping the faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. The word fight, it's almost a military term. He begins to go into military terms. And he begins to say it's an army that we're leading. And that this command he's entrusting to Timothy. It's almost as if he's saying, we cannot be blind to this. Proverbs is written, he says, naive, how long will you be naive? It's easy to run through this life and to really forget what we've been called to do. And he says, I entrust this to you, Timothy, that you fight the good fight. You keep your faith. So that our faith, as we begin to leave this building, is something that carries over with us as we walk throughout this earth. Every day, Monday morning when we hit work, Tuesday morning, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, amongst family members, amongst friends, that we keep our faith. That the word keep is they lay hold of it and they pull it to them. They will not let it go. You lay hold of Christ Jesus, and He is the one that directs our paths. That it's the faith that we're keeping and that good conscience. That the conscience is not seared because we've turned away from our faith. It's just something I wanted to bring up. It's a good, as Pastor Gary likes to say, from time to time. To remind us of these things. It's easy to begin to look at that world and have a disdain for them. We're the ones Christ has called to rescue them. So we go in. We come together on Sundays. We come together on Wednesdays. And we're sent back out to seek and to save that which is lost. Because if we're desiring to be just like our Savior, Ephesians 5:1, you be just like God. As His children, beloved children, then our mindset as Christians is that when we are walking in His will, He'll take care of us. He'll make sure that we're provided for. We've been called for a different work. We want to pick up our cross. We want to do what God has called us to do. We're looking to seek and to save that which is lost. It may be Betsy, that her mom just died in the cubicle at work. And you begin to pray, Lord, how can I minister to them? It may be somebody that forgot their lunch at work, and so we buy lunch for them. It's an opportunity to sit down and share the gospel. There's multiple ways. Kids at school. It's the new kid that's sitting by himself at the lunch table. He's not sitting by himself anymore. There's ways that we've been called to operate in a different realm. And I just wanted to take this opportunity because it's easy to forget what we've been called to do as Christians. And it's easy to begin to not be directed by our faith anymore. But our faith is so powerful. This gospel is so powerful that it dictates everything in our lives. So may this just be a time where we come back to the simplicity of who He's called us to be in Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before You now, may we realize that the good fight, Lord, that we keep our faith and that we desire to instruct out of love, a sincere faith, a good conscience, that we do not want to turn away from You and defile our conscience, Lord, and that our faith begin to suffer shipwreck. Lord, let us remember today that You came to seek and to save that which is lost. And Father, we all need to be reminded. And I thank You for reminding me that we are not above any other man. But that, Lord, You called us to do a work because of Your kindness, not because of mine. Lord Jesus, we love You and we thank You. In Your name we pray, Father. Amen.